In many ways, immigration has become the defining issue of the Trump presidency. Supporters embrace the president's tough stance and push for a border wall. Critics say the approach is inhumane. Anthropologist Jason DeLeon directs the Undocumented Migration Project, a long-term study of clandestine border crossing. DeLeon says his research is a reminder that America's immigration policy predates Trump. DeLeon will speak Thursday at ISU. He'll focus on a U.S. border strategy called Prevention Through Deterrence that began in the mid-1990s. It funneled migrants away from the urban ports of entry to more dangerous, depopulated terrain. In this sound, Ryan Denham reports, DeLeon says the goal was to slow migrants down.
Over the last 20 years, it hasn't really slowed people down, but it has killed thousands of people and led to millions of people attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border through these really hidden, inhospitable landscapes. And so the talk will focus on this policy, how it impacts migrants, on a daily basis. And the last part of the talk will really focus in on the casualties that have been the direct result of this policy. One of the arguments that I make in the talk and in my recent book, The Land of Open Graves, is that the thousands of people who have died while crossing the U.S.-Mexico border are by no means an unintended consequence of a policy. They are the direct result of a policy that formally recognizes that prevention through deterrence will in fact inflict quite a bit of harm. And so my argument is that this is something that we've been knowingly doing for a long time. We don't need a border wall because we've been using the Arizona desert and the South Texas backwoods as walls for two decades. And the things that happens to migrants in the desert are brutal and horrific and have long, far-reaching, violent repercussions for both the living and for the dead.
Yeah, and I've read that your research also gets into that. It also explores what happens to the bodies of migrants who die in the desert. Can you talk about that and why that is significant?
Well, one of the things that we, as researchers with the Undocumented Migration Project, try to argue is that the thousands of people that we have recovered in places like Arizona do not represent the actual number of people who have died while crossing the desert. There is good forensic evidence from experiments that we've done in the desert using pigs as proxies for the human body to document how fast these corpses decompose. There's very strong evidence to suggest that many people die in the Arizona desert and get ripped apart by carrion feeders like turkey vultures. And the extreme environmental conditions also do a very good job of breaking down a human body. And so we argue that there are probably many, many more folks who will never be recovered because they've died in remote areas and their corpses have been completely destroyed by the natural environment.
And you talk about prevention through deterrence as a policy dating back to the mid-90s under, at that point, a Democratic president, Bill Clinton. Prior to that, what was the general U.S. border strategy? How different was it from prevention through deterrence?
Prior to about 1993, border crossings used to be fairly out in the open. So if you go to a place like downtown San Ysidro or El Paso and you waited till dusk, people would amass on the Mexican side of the border, wait for it to get dark, and then just overwhelm the fence. And there wouldn't be enough Border Patrol agents to catch all the people who were hopping over the fence. And by crossing in these urban ports of entry, folks were able to then hop the fence, and if they could escape Border Patrol, they could blend in with the local population. And that was something that local politicians and the Border Patrol, especially in El Paso, were getting quite a bit of grief from. And there's a very interesting story written by a sociologist named Peter Andreas in a book called Blockading the Border. And he talks about how in the 1990s, Bowie High School in El Paso, Texas, was right on the U.S.-Mexico border. And students were getting very upset because the Border Patrol was coming onto campus and harassing students who they thought were undocumented border crossers because people were hopping the fence onto campus and running across the school. And so prevention through deterrence was partly a response to local folks in El Paso who were tired of being racially profiled by the Border Patrol. And so then the Border Patrol idea was, okay, maybe we can make it impossible for them to cross in these urban ports of entry where it's also quite unsightly politically. I mean, the rhetoric of the border being overwhelmed by border crossers was something that folks like Pete Wilson, the governor of California at the time, were using in their political campaigns to argue for more intensified border security. But all prevention through deterrence did was make that thing that was once visible highly invisible. It didn't stop people. It just deflected them towards places where there would be no cameras and there would be no people to see what was happening.
Well, Jason, I want to take a step back and ask you, you know, why have you devoted your academic life to this subject, migrants and the border? Like, what about this particular issue just pulled you in initially and then just has sustained your interest all these years?
I grew up along the South Texas border, about 6-7 miles from Mexico. I've got family, and then I moved to Southern California when I was in elementary school. I grew up in a family of immigrants. My mom comes from the Philippines. My dad comes from Mexico. I grew up with undocumented family members on both sides of my family, and so it was something that I had always kind of been around, but I had never really thought about it as something worthy of my own kind of research. I'm a classically trained archaeologist, and so much of my early career was spent thinking about things like ancient stone tools in Mexico. And, you know, I went to graduate school and I wrote a dissertation on ancient political economy and stone tools and trade and exchange, you know, which is a vastly different place than where I am now currently research-wise. But it was during the course of that archaeological work in Mexico where I got to know a lot of women and men who worked on archaeological excavations, working class folks who had very traumatic border crossing experiences. And it was over the years of digging ditches with these people and learning about them and sharing our stories that I became much more interested in the things that they were telling me about this humanitarian crisis that they had experienced themselves directly. And I became decreasingly less interested in the stuff that was coming out of the ground. And so by the time I finished my dissertation, I decided to make a radical research shift and go from the ancient past and, you know, sort of traditional archaeology to thinking about, could I use archaeology to understand contemporary border crossings by picking up the things that people have left behind and documenting them as an archaeological source of data? Could I combine that with interviews with migrants? Could I think about forensic science in this context? But it really all kind of developed super organically. And I think much of it was the fact that I was so moved and disturbed by the stories that people were telling me about the experiences that they were having on U.S. soil.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham, speaking with Jason De Leon, a professor at the University of Michigan. He'll visit Illinois State University on February 20th to deliver the Robert G. Bone Distinguished Lecture. Well, what have the past couple of years under President Trump meant for your research? Do you find that people are taking a greater interest in the things that you're working on as a result of the way that immigration has sort of been in our public consciousness in a new way?
You know, I think immigration in general comes in and out of focus every political cycle. And I don't think that in this current era, I mean, there's maybe slightly more attention. I mean, there's always a lot of attention, I think, on immigration because it's so easy to demonize migrants. And politicians are very adept at using migrants as a smokescreen to distract us from foreign policy, domestic economic issues. And so in this current moment, I feel like there is maybe slightly more attention, but at the same time, I feel like I'm having way more remedial conversations about this whole thing. I mean, the fact that we're still talking about walls in 2019 I'm stupefied by it. I mean, I feel like we've taken a step back 40 years in this current political moment. In some ways, I think that what the Trump era has reminded us is that there's a big segment of the American population that has literally no idea what's going on at the U.S.-Mexico border or the history of our immigration policies. And, you know, the rhetoric of build a wall, the closer you get to the border, the less you hear people yelling, build a wall. And you typically hear these voices get really loud about wall and immigration security in places like the Midwest, where I currently am, and especially during these election cycles. But I would say for many of us who've been working on this issue for a long time, that we sort of see what's happening right now as a reminder that it's kind of always been like this, and that we just have to keep kind of working on this issue. And I imagine that you know, whatever happens with this next presidential election, these same issues are still going to be on the table. I worry that they're going to go away, that people are going to stop thinking about the humanitarian crisis happening at the border, the thousands of people who have died and the millions that have been brutalized by immigration. And so I sort of think about this is a test to not kind of lose sight and to remind ourselves, too, that attention will be will move away from this issue, but the problem is not going to go anywhere. And so, you know, in some ways, I think that for me, I've been really energized by this this current administration, and I think as have many of my colleagues, to just keep doing the work that we've been doing, and maybe be louder now than we ever were before.
You just described yourself as a little bit baffled that we are still in 2019 talking about construction of a wall as sort of a centerpiece of immigration policy. What should we be talking about? What is sort of a healthier approach to this this conversation about immigration? Like, where would you start?
You know, I think we could start either two ways. If you could either recognize that undocumented people are the backbone of so many of our economies, and that the reason that they come here is because we pull them here through economic forces, that rather than talking about border security, we should be talking about why people are coming and how much we rely on them, and really reckoning, you know, the American public, I think, either has to reckon with our need to have undocumented folks here to do much of the labor that none of us want to do. We can either recognize that and accept the fact that we are interconnected to places like Latin America economically, or if we want to take the other route and just say, look, it's about security, it's about these immigrants ruining our country, I would tell folks, okay, I don't need you don't need $5 billion to build a wall that will not do anything. If you truly believe that, police the workforce. People, we love migrants when they are working here in the shadows. We seemingly hate them at the U.S.-Mexico border. But if we want to talk about border security, I mean, we know that if we weren't employing people, that they wouldn't be coming here. We wouldn't be having this conversation. But I think the same folks who are calling for a border wall are the folks who don't want to recognize how much we rely on this labor force. I mean, the president of the United States himself has companies that hire undocumented people. And yet this is the same person who is calling for this wall. And so I think we have to, the public has to make a decision. Are we either going to recognize our interconnectedness to these folks, or are we going to go the other way? But if we're going to go the other way, those folks have to understand too that maybe they're going to have to start dealing with $15 a pound tomatoes and figuring out who's going to do many of the jobs that that U.S. citizens just refuse to do.
Well, you talked about that interconnectedness. Are there other misconceptions that you think that Americans have about the border and the people specifically who try to cross it year after year?
Well, I think right now, you know, this idea that MS-13 is knocking at our front door, trying to hop the fence. People don't understand that the folks who are leaving places like Honduras are literally fleeing for their lives from MS-13. And MS-13 and the gang violence that has overtaken places like Honduras and El Salvador, much of that is the direct result of U.S. intervention policies, of U.S. deportation policies from the 1980s and 90s. The folks who are coming here are fleeing a problem that is U.S. constructed. And we just really don't want to understand that we are in many ways at fault for this issue. And the fact that we characterize them in such a negative way, I think really reflects the fact that many folks don't want to look at this issue or understand it closely. It's easier to just say, these are all bad people and I don't want to deal with it. It's much harder to say, okay, how has the U.S. been responsible for these things that are happening now at our front door? And I think that we have to counter that rhetoric, and we have to fight it. I just don't understand what it takes. I mean, the American public we're very good at historical amnesia. I mean, the same people who are saying that these folks are evil, evildoers who are coming here to harm us are probably the same people who would say things like, you know, my ancestors came here legally and they worked really hard and they learned the language and they assimilated, you know, and they came through Ellis Island and it was this romantic kind of thing. Ellis Island was a horrible place for immigrants. We mistreated the Italians. We mistreated the Eastern Europeans, the Chinese, the Japanese, but we have really forgotten that. And every generation, we have some new group of people that we demonize, and we seemingly just cannot understand the cycle, the vicious cycle that we have been in terms of how America treats its immigrants.
That's Jason De Leon, a professor at the University of Michigan. He'll visit Illinois State University on February 20th to deliver the Robert G. Bone Distinguished Lecture. I'm Ryan Denham.
You can learn more about De Leon's anthropological study at undocumentedmigrationproject.com.